Chapter 4. Ruth. Mount Sinai Hospital had been home to Ruth for 3 days before they let the detectives talk to her. She had woken in her hallway in horrific pain, her stomach and legs covered in her own blood. Weak and hysterical, she had crawled to the house phone on the hall table and dialed 911 before she passed out. She didn't wake again for a long time. She slept, and her dreams took her back to that hallway. She stood in her night things, gazing into the pane of glass in her kitchen window, staring at the reflection of the man who had come to kill her.
"Hello, sweetheart."
Ruth woke suddenly, her eyes wide open, mouth gaping, like she'd come up for air from the depths of a dark ocean. She could still see the man's face, his eyes, his voice echoed in her mind. She looked around, found herself in a dimly lit hospital room. There was an IV on the back of her hand. When she started to sit up, she felt a tightness across her stomach and chest. The pain in her left leg was sharper still. Then the wave came. It started low down in her stomach, a cold fire, and quickly it spread over her body, causing every limb to tremble. Her breathing stuttered. Unable to take a deep breath, she gulped shallow mouthfuls and moaned until finally she had pumped enough air into her lungs to scream. A nurse banged the door open, and as soon as she saw Ruth, she approached very slowly, her hands up, telling her it was okay. She was safe now in the hospital, that it was all over. Even then, in the midst of panic, Ruth knew this would never be over. 2 more nurses came in, but Ruth couldn't hear what they were saying. For a second, she wondered why, then realized she was still screaming.
"She's going into shock," said one of the nurses, and took hold of Ruth's arm.
Ruth felt the butterfly needle pulling at her skin. Then she felt suddenly dizzy, and then sleep came. And the blue-eyed man came with it. When she woke, it took some time to open her eyes. Her eyelids weighed 500 pounds, her limbs wouldn't obey her, and she heard herself talking, but couldn't understand a word. Her fingers drifted to her face, and she felt a tube in her nose helping her breathe. Then she turned her head with great effort, and Scott was sitting on a chair beside her bed. He was holding her hand and whispering to her softly, telling her to lie still. She tried to lift her head, but it was too heavy. Unable to do anything else, she lay quietly and gazed at her husband. Black, hard stubble on his face and dark rings beneath his pale blue eyes. He caressed her hand, kissed it, and a tear fell upon her skin.
"What happened? There was a man?"
she began, and felt the wave rising in her chest again.
"He's gone. It's all over. You're going to be okay,"
he said, and repeated it until Ruth began to calm, and then she cried. He got up on the bed and held her, and together they wept until Ruth drifted off to sleep again.
"Ruth, my name is Dr. Mosley. How are you feeling?"
said the man in the white coat standing beside her bed. He had a soft face, round cheeks, and a shaven head, a handsome man with gentle music in his voice.
"My chest, stomach, it feels tight. My legs hurt, the left one," said Ruth.
He came closer and nodded to Scott.
"I've already spoken to your husband, but I need to know if you feel well enough to speak to the police. They have been very keen to talk to you. How would you feel if I let them in for 5 minutes?
"Okay, I guess," said Ruth.
Her voice sounded scratchy. Her throat was still dry and sore, no matter how many glasses of cool water she sipped through a straw. Scott had wiped her lips with an ice cube, combed her chestnut hair, and washed her face. She felt better, but she had questions. She'd tried to ask Scott what had happened, but he'd just said she was okay now, that it was over. Part of her didn't want to know, was afraid to find out.
"What happened to me?" she asked.
Scott rose from his seat his hand outstretched, as if he didn't want Mosley to say anything. She was too weak to start an argument, but Mosley didn't get into it with Scott, simply gave him a look, like he was admonishing a foolish child.
Ruth, you were admitted in the early hours of Saturday morning, the 15th, with multiple stab wounds and lacerations, said the doctor.
Ruth closed her eyes, took Scott's hand, and squeezed it as hard as she could.
After you called 911, paramedics broke into your home and brought you here. You had lost a lot of blood. The stab wounds were deep, but we were able to repair a lot of the damage. You have been through a terrifying attack. As far as we know, you were not sexually assaulted. We will need to talk in more detail about your injuries, but not immediately. What is important right now is that you talk to the police. Do you think you can do that?
Ruth nodded, opened her eyes, and said, Thank you. I'll do my best. Mosley smiled, then turned and opened the door to Ruth's hospital room. Two people came inside, one man, one woman, one tall, one short. Both wore black suits and woolen overcoats. The tall one introduced himself as Detective Andrew Farrow, and his partner was Detective Karen Hernandez. The smaller one had a tattoo of a bird on the back of her hand, the same hand that held a pen. She sat and opened a notebook, ready to take notes. Farrow approached the bed. He walked stiffly, as if in pain, and swept a lock of blonde hair from his eyes as he looked down upon her. He was still a young man, early 40s, maybe.
Mrs. Gelman, do you mind if I call you Ruth?
He asked. She shook her head. Ruth is fine.
Thank you. I've stood by a lot of beds in a lot of hospitals. Each time it's different. A lot of people can't talk about what happened to them. If you are able to answer some of our questions, it would be a big help. If you need to stop for a while, my partner and I can go kick back, drink coffee, and eat donuts.
Then he leaned over a little and whispered,
One of the perks of being a cop.
He winked.
So, please, don't feel under pressure to talk for too long. I just want to ask a few questions now and then we'll let you rest.
Ruth nodded. Farrow seemed to wince a little as he straightened up, his hand reaching for his lower back.
I want to ask you about the attack. We have it recorded as occurring on Friday, September 14th. Your 911 call came in just before midnight. What do you remember about that night?
He said. She licked her dry lips and remembered Scott going out and leaving her alone in the apartment, watching a movie, wine, then bed. Then it was all a little hazy until
I woke up late that night. I heard a noise downstairs, glass breaking. I thought it was Scott at first. I went downstairs and I saw the back door had been broken. The window, I mean. Then I saw a reflection. Farrow nodded, but didn't say anything. A man was standing behind me. He had blue eyes, I know that. They were really clear and bright. He had high cheekbones. They sat out sharply, and a square jaw, dark hair. He grabbed me, put something over my mouth, and I blacked out. Whatever it was had a strong chemical smell. I remember waking up and he was gone. There was blood everywhere. I crawled to the table in the hall and I got the phone, but I don't remember much about that. Nodding, Farrow said,
I know this is hard, but it's important. Can you remember anything else about him? Any facial scars, birthmarks, that kind of thing?
Ruth thought hard, her jaw trembling, her gaze rigidly fixed on the ceiling.
No, I don't think so.
Could you describe his clothing?
It was dark, black. I don't know what kind.
Did he speak or threaten you before he grabbed you?
Ruth gasped at the memory.
He did say something.
Farrow looked to Hernandez. They exchanged a glance before he turned back to Ruth.
What did he say, Ruth?
He said, "Hi there, sweetheart," or something like that. God.
Her free hand covered her mouth, and Scott took her by the shoulders, held her, as if he were bracing her for an earthquake.
Do you remember what time you went downstairs?
Ruth shook her head.
Do you think you would be able to recognize this man if you saw him again?
She nodded.
Thank you, Ruth. We will need to do a further interview when you're feeling a little better. Is there anything else you can tell us now?
She shook her head again, sobbing into her palm.
Have you found this guy?
Asked Scott. His tone shook the room. Pharaoh straightened up to his full height, which was at least 3 inches over Scott.
We have collected what evidence we can from your home, Mr. Gelman. Have you found him yet?
Said Scott, cutting off Pharaoh. Hernandez closed her notebook, stood and placed her pen in her inside pocket, then unbuttoned her coat. Every available resource is dedicated to catching this perpetrator, said Hernandez. Ruth is lucky to be alive. 2 other women weren't so lucky. This man is our top priority. Every cop in the city is on alert. You have our word. We won't rest until we catch him.
2 women? Said Ruth, removing her hand from her face.
Yes, ma'am,
said Pharaoh.
I know this is hard, but we will need to talk again soon. If anything else comes to mind in the meantime, I've given your husband my card.
And with that, Pharaoh and Hernandez turned to leave. Ruth sat up and winced, biting her lip with pain as she tried to move.
Wait, why did he let me live?
She asked. Pharaoh and Hernandez slowed at the door. Hernandez opened it, nodded at her partner. Turning back to Ruth, Pharaoh said,
We're working on this. That's all I can tell you for now. Don't bullshit us. You know a lot more about this asshole than you're saying, said Scott. We don't have a lot to go on. No forensics at the crime scenes. Now we have a description. That'll really help. We'll be in touch,
said Pharaoh.